Welcome to this special edition of the View from 22 podcast from The Spectator. I'm Isabel Harbin, the assistant editor of The Spectator, and I'm joined by The Spectator editor Fraser Nelson, who is in Inverness, and Spectator political editor James Forsyth, who is gauging the reaction in London. Fraser, what do you make of this result?
Well, it turns out to be a lot better than anybody had hoped or feared. I mean, an 11-point lead for the No campaign is something they would have been delighted with had any poll showed it last night. And I think it's surprising people, first of all, because the turnout, you know, in the high 80s, it's an extraordinary turnout for an election. It makes it harder to gauge for opinion pollsters. But also, there's a huge difference between the result we've had tonight, rather a decisive no, and the sort of street campaign where the yes were winning on the streets. So I think most of Scotland and Britain will have gone to bed last night thinking the union could be dissolved and have woken up thinking things weren't as bad. And now the decision immediately, sort of the discussion immediately turns to England and what's going to happen there.
And James, if Alex Salmond had been expecting a no vote, he would have been hoping for a much narrower result than the one we've got today. Does this mean that he is weakened in terms of the demands he now makes from Westminster?
Yeah, I think if at the start of this campaign we'd been told what the result is, it would have been regarded as quite a good campaign for the Nationalists. But having got so close, having had an opinion poll putting them in the lead, this has to be a disappointment for them. In the end, it looks like a fairly ringing endorsement of the union. And I think it is very telling that the SNP have said, in a break with their usual practice, that they will join in the cross-party discussions on further devolution for Scotland. I think Salmond knows that they're not realistically going to be able to have another referendum in 4 or 5 years' time. I mean, this is settled now for a generation. I think the most dramatic thing we've seen this morning, though, is in the last 2 weeks, we saw a kind of unprecedented cross-party cooperation. We saw Gordon Brown being given the kind of Prime Minister's authority to go out and promise things to Scottish voters. But this morning, we've got politics red in tooth and claw, because David Cameron's statement this morning is an arrow aimed at the heart of the Labour Party. He is trying to say that Labour will not be able to pass a budget without a majority in England, because that's what he means when he took his expansive definition of what English issues are, when he said it's tax, spending and welfare. He hasn't gone for the kind of halfway house, which is, you know, no Scottish votes, no Scottish MPs voting on health and education and other kind of public service issues. He's gone right to the heart of the matter, and he's put tax, spending and welfare at the heart of this new settlement.
James, what do you expect the Labour reaction to this to be?
Well, I think we've seen it already from Douglas Alexander, but they can't accept this, because in the current electoral climate, it means that there's no way that they're going to have a majority. I mean, this is precisely what Ed Balls was warning about in Shadow Cabinet when we first heard about this deal between the three party leaders to offer kind of Devo more to the Scots. But I think that was a very interesting intervention from John Denham on Newsnight last night, when he said, look, you know, logically, this just can't happen. You can't carry on having Scottish MPs voting on English matters at Westminster. So I think we're going to see a debate in the Labour Party, because the people in the Labour Party who worry about UKIP will worry that if they set their face against an answer to this English question, they are just going to aid UKIP's insurgency in some pretty safe Labour seats.
And Fraser, is it just the SNP who should be disappointed and upset after this result? Is there also a case that Labour actually have got some soul searching to do as well as trying to work out how on earth to address David Cameron's new policy on England?
Yeah, it's been quite funny listening to the SNP people being so downhearted this morning. I mean, John Swinney, the former SNP leader, was there saying, well, we just failed, we gave it our best, but we didn't persuade the Scottish people, as if that was ever a realistic possibility. I mean, obviously, from my perspective, I think that nationalism is one of the daftest ideas in politics, and I'm amazed they got 45%. So I don't think the SNP should be downhearted. I think the campaign exposed some real problems in our democracy. I mean, there are something like, you know, a million Scottish people who feel they've got nothing to lose from breaking away from the union. A lot of them feel they've got nothing to lose in general. This campaign was able to let you hear the voices of voters who are never normally listened to, because they're normally in safe seats and therefore are ignored by the Westminster political system. And also the discontent, the sheer irritation with Westminster heard in Scotland is reflected all throughout the country. Certainly, normally it's UKIP in England, and Scotland it's the SNP. So I think this campaign has exposed some real problems. Now, the leaders have got a choice. Do you want to cover it up and say, deal done, the Scotland's voted no, so let's get to back to business as usual? Or do you say, look at the problems here, look at the problems we found in our own apparatus? The Labour Party's apparatus was decaying, the Tories was barely existing. These problems have got to be addressed. Technically you can ignore them, but I think it would be a grave error if either Cameron or Miliband would go back to politics as usual after this referendum.
I think as well, I hit on something very important, which is, as the results were coming in last night, I was doing the kind of early shift. I mean, we were getting the early samples from the counts. One Labour contact said to me, it's going to be great, we're going to win by 8 points plus, but the real worry for me is that we're winning because of the middle class areas. It's the working class areas where you would traditionally expect the Labour Party to be strongest, which are going for independence. I mean, in a way, the union was saved last night by the votes of middle class Scots. I mean, this is what has happened. Is that if you look at the turnout in the middle class areas of Scotland, turnout was phenomenally high, while as in the more working class areas where people thought that the SNP might kind of, in its kind of carnival way, turn out huge swathes of people, it actually turned out to be quite disappointing, below the national average in both Dundee and Glasgow.
Isabel, that's a point actually that sooner or later we're going to know who voted. Right now we know the headline figures. It won't be long before we will find out, for example, that the young were overwhelmingly for yes and the old were against it. I mean, in Inverness last night I heard lots of young people complaining that their grannies were going to vote no because they were worried about their pension. So you get so many fault lines here. And also, a recent YouGov poll showed that Scottish-born Scots were for independence, whereas English-born Scots were against it. So those are the kind of divisions that we might see coming later on when we find out who exactly achieved this victory for the No campaign.
And on these divisions, just looking ahead to the aftermath of the result, both in Scotland and the rest of the UK, do you think that it will be easy for some of the divisions that we have seen open up on the campaign trail to heal easily, Fraser?
I think, well, some of the personal divisions will take so long to heal. I mean, I'm from them here. I'm from Nairn, just down the road from Inverness. And the people I've been speaking to, some of my old friends from school, have been saying that this has set partner against partner. It's divided families. I know one woman who says she's lost half of her friends from this campaign. It's become so bitter because one side, it got to the stage where one side couldn't understand the other. The no side thought that the yes were all deranged loopy juice drinkers, and the yes side thought the no were sort of cowards and had no faith in Scotland. So because passions ran so high, because the engagement was so high, it became personal in a way that politics very seldom is personal. And I think it will take some time for the healing to start. But the last thing I saw on my little campaign trail last night was a yes campaigner having a laugh with a no campaigner outside a polling station. So they'll need that spirit of reconciliation.
James, looking forward to the Westminster scene, what can we expect from the next 24 hours, the next few days?
Well, I think the big question is, how does Labour respond to what David Cameron has announced this morning? And how hardball is David Cameron prepared to play? Is he prepared to try and gang up with the Lib Dems to kind of force this constitutional change through? Now, that would be a very unusual way to do constitutional change and quite temperamentally unlike Cameron. But I think there is a chance he might do this because of that man, Nigel Farage, who has been out on the airwaves this morning, you know, deliberately trying to outflank the Tories. You know, he wants Scottish MPs to stop voting in debate English matters immediately. He wants the Barnett formula scrapped. I think Cameron knows that he's in the fight of his life at the next general election to avoid getting outflanked on this by UKIP. And I think you're going to see him play pretty hardball with Labour now, because I think Cameron feels that he's been very collegiate, very cross-party. He's even called his own party the effing Tories up in Scotland in an attempt to help save the union.
I think everybody else calls them though.
I think you are now going to see him play some incredibly hardball politics.